This is the Farm Doctor Weekly Podcast brought to you by Wayne County Farm Bureau and New Lisbon Broadband Communications.
Good morning. Welcome. Just welcome this morning. Good morning. Welcome to the program. I got a chance and a little overdue here, but had a chance to catch up with Don Thurston. Good morning, Don.
Hey, John.
Don, you're finished up. You know, I'd like to talk with you throughout the year, getting the crop in the ground sometime, a couple times through the year, the growing season, and then obviously as we get to combines in the field. A lot we can talk about this morning. I guess the first and good thing is you're finished up.
Yes, we got finished up there before the Memorial Day weekend.
You know, every year has its set of challenges. This is no exception. Weather's been kind of all over the board. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had heat, we've had cool, we've had rain, we've had some dry weather. You know, so it's been a challenge this year getting it in the ground. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, maybe more so getting it out of the ground once we got it in the ground. The month of May was, even though we had those hot spells, then it would turn cool and wet. And, we went that cycle a couple of times, and I believe May was actually a little bit behind on heat unit accumulation, even though we did hit some of those 80-degree temps there early in April.
Yeah. So happy with the emergence and all that? I mean, I know it's early in the game here. You know, we're in early June here, and I don't know if you've had a chance or opportunity to get out and look at everything that you've put in the ground, but at least to this point, pretty satisfied with what you've got done.
You know, the earliest we got started on April the 26th, and that first 3 days there, the 26th, 27th, 28th, got hit with an extended spell of cool and wet weather. So I'm satisfied, that with our stand could have been better. I think as I drive around, it looks like fields that got tillage are faring better than my no-till on some of the lighter soils, just for that early window. The lighter soils, struggling a little bit. Growth is behind. Stands reduced, but not to the point of needing replanting. In the darker soils, things are looking pretty good. And then the later planted, once we got into our May plantings, I think everything's coming up all right. We had some early planted soybeans.
Now, that was a conversation you and I had.
Yes.
And have had. Have you leaned more towards those early maturing beans? You know, all the information that we keep getting every year tends to, you want to go to an early maturing bean because they just kind of outperformed these later maturing beans in the past.
If they're planted early.
So yeah. Do you find yourself every year doing a little more of that?
This year is the most we have done. I guess we take advantage of the weather windows if we get that. And by early, this year we're talking beans planted April 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, I believe, was some in that time frame.
Do you go below a 3?
Yeah. We plant a 2.8 maturity, we've planted 2.7s, 2.8 to 3.0. Have we done more and more? I guess it all depends on how big the weather window is that we've got to go with,
We had a chance to talk a little bit before we started, and you did shift a few acres there late in the game, sort of, kind of.
We had intended to corn. We about 95 acres. We switched to beans.
Any problems this year getting the crop in the ground?
Well, just normal mechanical problems that are specific to my farm. I don't think so much. There was some damp conditions we planted in, because we just couldn't get the heat going on some days to really, get the ground dried out to the point we wanted. But the crop's in the ground, and so far I don't see any problems from that.
And in the plans this year, is there some thought of throwing some money at this crop? I mean, where these prices are, I mean, things are really pretty good. So have you changed your thoughts? And what I mean by that is maybe more acres to a fungicide, or maybe more acres to some nutritionals as we go through the growing season, or not.
That's we will definitely be more predisposed to protecting yield if we're setting up for good yield. We'll because you can sure that break even point for a fungicide application or an insecticide application, is it goes up with the crop prices being where they're at, and of course we say potentially, crop prices are good, and we're believing that the crop prices are going to stay good until we actually have a chance to sell them or get them harvested. So there's a few variables there, John, but in general, yes, we are looking at we're more favorably disposed towards additional inputs in order to protect or gain more yield. Nitrogen be an example. We bumped our nitrogen rate a little bit this year. Get more bushels. That point of diminishing returns goes up with the cost of corn, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Don, let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to get in the other part of the program where we're going to talk about some good stuff.
The spring planting season is here, and farmers in Wayne County are returning to their fields and roadways to travel to and from work. The Wayne County Farm Bureau reminds all drivers to be alert and patient with farm equipment on the roadways. Most tractors and equipment are considered to be slow-moving vehicles, which means they travel at 25 miles per hour or less. Be prepared to slow down and allow plenty of time to get to your destination this planting season. Caution and care are required by everyone. Let's all get home safely today.
It's that time of year when we clean out the dirty, dingy areas of our home and get rid of things we don't use anymore. So while you're doing spring cleaning, do you open up your windows to get that fresh, clean spring feeling in your home? Well, you can do the same thing with your internet. It's time to freshen up your internet with a feeling of reliability and speed. It's like having your internet give you that same refreshing feeling of lying in a hammock with a slight breeze on a beautiful spring day. Get that same feeling with your internet right now at NLBC.com. NLBC, your life connected.
Back now with Don Thurston. Don, certainly the prices of corn and beans has been great, been good, been, whatever you want to call it, and has remained that way through, whether it's to surprise or no surprise. I guess I want to know what, in your opinion, is driving the market north. I mean, why is it continuing to go up? Is it an export thing? Is it a weather thing in the West where we still have lack of rainfall? But for whatever reason, what do you contribute that to?
The last time we talked, we were talking about what's got the prices to where they were, looking at high prices. And that was when, John, early April, maybe?
Right before you was going to the field. I mean, yeah. I think you were going to the field there pretty quick.
And for review, this thing started late last year with South American weather and China showing up to buy large amounts of corn, beans, who knows what else. Then South America got into the situation where, I think this is part of what continues to drive the South American story continues to drive crop prices today. They were dry during their primary growing season in South America. Of course, they're counter to our growing season. But then the large parts of Brazil plant corn as a double crop after soybeans. So it was dry down there when they would normally be planting that corn, which of course competes with U.S. corn in the export market. And so what's been driving us further higher is they had to plant their double crop corn. They call it the safrina crop. They had to plant that later than normal, waiting on some moisture to show up. Well, what that does is that creates more risk for their crop because that moves their maturity into a riskier period where they tend to get more heat and dryness. And by golly, that's what's showing up down there. that that corn crop in South America is, you know, there's larger areas developing, you know, a drier pattern down there, and that's got the market's attention.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think there's a shortage here in the United States?
Of corn or soybeans?
Both. Yeah. Well, maybe beans, you hear more about that.
Yes, yes. Beans, there's a tighter situation than corn. Don't get me wrong. Corn's got a supply-side story and a significant one. As we're talking here today, we're looking primarily towards the new crop, because if most of your listeners are like me, most of their corn was already sold before the fireworks started happening. And, you know, we've got a little left, but not a lot. You know, we're looking at the new crop situation here. And as you look at the supply and demand situation, there's still a lot of unknowns in this market. Still a lot of variables that aren't known, like how many acres of corn got planted. You know, we don't know what the yield's going to be. We do know that the weather, here's another factor that keeps this thing rolling. We know that the weather in the Dakotas, you look at the drought monitor, you know that, you know, there's some significant production area there that's getting hammered and has been all spring, dry. And now this week, you know, we're talking here on Thursday morning, and now this week they are, the forecast is for triple digit heat through parts of the Dakotas. And man, it's kind of early to be talking about that. So there's some crop production risk going on in the U.S. right now. Maybe a third of the Corn Belt affected is dry into Iowa. You know, another thing getting attention, I just saw a blip yesterday that subsoil moisture, even in the eastern Corn Belt, we don't think of us as being overly dry here in the eastern Corn Belt, but there is a measurement of subsoil moisture that shows we're behind, you know, so we don't, if it does turn dry here, if that situation doesn't get rectified in the eastern Corn Belt, you know, we may not have the subsoil moisture to carry us through a long dry period later. So there's some funny things setting up here that keeps the market's attention. But if the crop gets made, you know, if at the point that the market collectively starts to see, you know, get a better handle on what the yield potential is and what the actual planted acres are in corn, you know, you can see a situation where we could be a dollar higher or a dollar lower. You know, there's some upside potential, there's some downside risk in corn. Soybeans is different. Their supply situation is so tight now, you can foresee a scenario where even a high number of planted acres, relatively speaking to what's been projected, even a high number of planted acres and a relatively good yield still leaves us really, really tight on supply. So you know, I think there's probably more upside potential from here at this point today. There's more upside potential in beans than corn, but you know, hey, we're getting to the point where weather's really going to be front and center in everything, and we're going to probably see, I think that's the safe prediction going forward, John, is a lot of volatility in the markets, a lot.
You know, one of the good, you know, the pricing has been a good thing, but along with that, Don, comes input costs. You know, it's great that corn's where it is and beans is where it is, but as we tag along with the input costs, if you see them kind of spiking, is that of a big concern to you?
Yes, it's a concern.
I mean, I'm talking a lot more than just fertilizer and chemicals. You know, it's equipment. It's, I mean, just anything and everything is kind of tagging right along with this.
Yeah,
good market.
Yeah, and part of what gives me more, we always have that concern when commodity prices go up. Everybody who services the agriculture industry wants to get a piece of that action. Prices go up, you know, herbicide, chemicals, seed, fertilizer. You know, all of our inputs basically are going to likely have upward upward pressure, upward movement. Everybody wants to get a piece of that that increased revenue. Land's going to go up. Land's already been going up. That is exacerbated, in my opinion. Some of those products are already, due to the past COVID situation or whatever the excuse is that is coming about. There's a lot of stuff that's really hard to get a hold of right now. You know, there's certain chemicals are hard or impossible to get a hold of. You know, I'm hearing that the fungicides may not be the easiest thing to get a hold of. You might get a fungicide. It might not be your preferred fungicide. Same way with chemicals. You couple that with overcoming, you know, a supply deficit from this year, this crop year, this spring, you know, and carry it into next year, that, you know, this thing may be even goofier than normal as far as, supply availability and high prices. It always happens, you know, that commodity prices go up and there's a little bit of lag, but then the input prices follow. And then generally when commodity prices tail off, there's still a lag and the input prices coming down. So this year, from an income perspective, looks pretty good. If a guy got, you know, a majority of his inputs bought early enough before the price went up, it's like, this could look like a windfall year. Be careful, because next year we're going to have to probably give some of it back.
Donna, appreciate the comments today. A bunch of good thoughts. I'm kind of anxious to check with you back here in about 4 to 6 weeks and see where we're at then. Yeah. But thanks for your comments, Don.
Absolutely.
That wraps up for this week's show. Join me again next time. Until then, everyone stay healthy and stay safe. Thank you.
You've listened to the Farm Doctor Weekly Podcast, brought to you by Wayne County Farm Bureau and New Lisbon Broadband Communications.